men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk Live. Magical Engineer Frank and I have a great show. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network. We're going to be talking about radiation. Yeah, it's the radiation age. And you probably say, well, I don't have to worry about that. Well, you'll see. And let's see, we're going to be talking about fatigue, if you tend to be struggling with that. And we'll see if we can fit in some other topics like incontinence. We'll see how much time we got. And we have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in the uniform. Yep, in the military, lifting them up in prayer, as always, lifting all this nation up in prayer. I'm praying God's hand be on this nation, right? And he protects the election and his will be done. That's what we have to seek his face and ask for. And I've got a little something to read to you from the devotional today. When things seem to be going all wrong, stop and affirm your trust in me. Calmly bring these matters to me and leave them in my capable hands. Then simply do the next thing. Stay in touch with me through thankful, trusting prayer, resting in my sovereign control. Rejoice in me. Exalt in the God of your salvation. As you trust in me, I make your feet like the feet of a deer to enable you to walk and make progress upon your high places of trouble, suffering, and responsibility. Now, that's a paraphrase from Job 13, Psalms 18, and hope you enjoyed that. And, you know, that word is empowering. It'll calm your spirit if you're a little anxious. So dust off the Bible and get in there. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, first up in the quack report, going to the UK, Britons, guess what they're doing? They're seeking a digital detox. Yeah, they're spending an average of 25 hours per week online. That's right. One-third of Britons have undertaken what is called a digital detox. They're ditching their smartphones and their tablets and their computers. They want to wean themselves off the online addiction, and they want to do more in the real world with real friends and real families in intimate one-on-one, relationships. Now, there's 15 million adults that are doing this, taking a break from the internet. Adults spend way too much, between 25 to 29 hours a week. Those aged 16 to 24 spend 26 hours a week. And teens about the same. So they're looking for a better tech life balance. Hey, I like it, you know. All right, what else is up in the quacker? If you're overweight, it says it makes your brain age an average of 10 years. Research by the University of Cambridge found that the brains of overweight or obese people look 10 years older than they actually were compared to their healthy weight counterparts. Study scanned 473 brains, and they found a difference in brain structure in the overweight people compared to their counterparts who were not overweight. They said the volume of white matter and the tissue that connects areas of the left and right hemisphere of the brain, which are your communication regions, seem to have shrunk, according to the studies. So shrinkage of the brain, they say, is associated with a higher risk of cognitive decline and dementia. So the Cambridge study said that they didn't find any difference in cognitive skill sets with participants that were underweight with the IQ test. And they said, naturally, brains can shrink as we age, but scientists are recognizing that the obesity is having an effect earlier than it should. Also, they also linked conditions like diabetes, cancer, and heart disease can also affect the brain aging element. So researchers are looking into that middle-aged and onwards is what they've noticed on the brain shrinkage. All right, moving along in the quack report. Anybody out there eating soy? Well, they say if you eat soy, you're going to look 5 years older, according to this research, because in the 90s, soy was the bomb all over the supermarket scene, promises, you know, a lot of health benefits. But once considered a minor industrial crop, you know, soy in the 1913 was just nothing on, not even on the radar. But now soy covers 72 million acres of farmland. So Soy Foods Association of America says soy protein is an isolated thing. So soy protein isolate is what they consider a dry powder food ingredient. You see it in a lot of foods on the shelf. And it's from soybean, and it's 90 to 95% soybean protein, and it's almost all carbohydrate and calorie-free. But the soy protein isolate is not the same as soy, because it's an isolated protein from it. But you see this product in protein bars, meal replacement shakes, bottled fruit drinks, soups, sauces, meats, baked goods, breakfast cereals, and even some dietary supplements will have there in there. So soy might be hiding also in your foods as another ingredient because they've given it a different name. It's got aliases. So look for words like bouillon, natural flavor, and textured plant protein. It all could be soy, and so much of the soy is genetically modified now. Okay, so here are a few other names that soy tends to hide under. Monodiglyceride, soya or uba, textured soy flour or textured soy protein, textured vegetable protein, lecithin, and MSG. So look for that. Last but not least in the Quack Report, here's some of the grimiest surfaces in public places you'll want to know about and avoid. Because, you know, we're kind of coming into the flu season real soon here. And spreading germs from surfaces and objects in a public setting, pretty easy to do and harder to avoid than we think. Okay, because we all know about, you know, knobs on doors, light switches, gas station pumps, bathroom surfaces, that kind of thing. But here's some things you may not have thought about. If you're going out to eat in a restaurant, the Journal of Medical Virology reports that germs like cold and flu viruses can survive up to 18 hours on hard surfaces. So they tend to wipe down the table at the restaurant, but they don't typically wipe off the menu that people are touching. And you don't want the menu to touch your flatware, okay? And after you hand the menu back to the waitress, you want to wash your hands, they say, because there's lots of cold and flu bugs on your menu. Also, those little lemon orange wedges or lime wedges that come with drinks or even lemon and water, if you ask for that, the Journal of Environmental Health discovered 70% of the restaurants had contaminated fruit bar product like microorganisms like E. coli, fecal bacteria, and other diseases were hanging all over that fruit. So opt for not having the garnish is what they recommend. Lastly, the condiment dispenser. We've heard about this. Many people don't wash their hands before eating or if they've gone to the restroom, and they'll stick their hand in the condiment dispensers. And so even ketchup, the paper napkins holders, toothpick holders, the holders for the sugar, salt, and pepper, all going to be carrying pathogens. So be careful out there. It's going to be an interesting flu season. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. I have a customer who says, you know, if I want to get sick, I go out and eat. he's serious. He's serious. Every time he goes out and eat, he gets a cold or something. All right, we're going to talk about radiation, the radiation age that we live in. We live in a time where, you know, our infrastructure pulses, actually, with radiation and with what some consider consistent saturation per day of this radiation. So scientific inventions have, you know, provided a lot of mankind with numerous conveniences. So how did we get on the path of this electromagnetic radiation, also known as EMFs and Wi-Fi? Well, it seems to have begun in the late 1800s when Polish physicist Marie Curie, French physicist Henri, I think it's Becquerel, and German physicist Wilhelm Röntgen, they got together and they created conducting experiments with electromagnetic currents. And they discovered new rays of light, and they called them X-rays. And adding elements of barium and uranium, they discovered all these new light rays and energy matter, later named radioactivity. So, of which, you know, radiology was developed from that. Now, Marie Curie continued with her radiation experiments, but then she died at the age of 67 from anemia, toxic aplastic anemia from exposure to radiation. So the radiation killed her bones and her blood supply. And to this day, Curie's research papers and the cookbook that she was working on are in a shielded box as they're highly radioactive and unsafe to handle. So in the 19th century, we were put on a path we knew little about the health effects of this new electricity. So today we have a branch of modern medicine which utilizes radiation as a form of treatment. Now, is there a safe way to harness radiation? And should we use it? Well, science would say yes, but we're going to take a look. All right. You know the badge people wear when they're working in industries where there's lots of radiations and, you know, they got to measure their exposure? Well, anyone that knows someone who works around energy sources like that, it produces a lot of radiation, they're required to wear that radiation badge. For instance, places like, you know, nuclear power stations or X-ray techs at clinics and hospitals, they wear these little badges. So radiation causes cancer, and the International Agency for Research on Cancer, part of the UN's World Health Organization, lists over 250 class 2B carcinogens, and on the list is radio frequency electromagnetic field as a cause of cancer. So your RF EMF is a cancer carcinogenic element. So this type of radiation comes from things like radios and TVs and microwaves and cell phones and your Wi-Fi. And if you haven't noticed, Wi-Fi is being installed in coffee shops, hotels, neighborhoods, airplanes, and schools. So the accumulative effect must be enormous, although no studies have claimed a risk. Now, according to the National Cancer Institute, the most common exposure to radio frequency radiation is wireless communication devices and equipment. And they had provided a list: cell phones, smart meters, any portable wireless device like a laptop or a laptop mouse, your TV, your radio, your broadcasting antennas, your satellite radar devices, your MRI devices, microwave ovens, cordless phones, cell phones, and base stations, and, of course, your Wi-Fi. So let's look at some of the studies, because there have been a few, and I mean a few. You know, science has to have a bunch in order for them to be convinced of anything, but there have been some mixed reports that there is really not enough evidence to suggest that the low levels of frequent exposure to radiation is going to put us at risk of cancer. However, the National Cancer Institute has research on file on residential exposure or EMFs or electromagnetic frequencies showing a statistical significant association between this radiation and breast cancer. This was in the Medical Journal of Epidemiology, and this was in 2004. And let's see, also in the journal article, they said the workplace environment where workers are exposed to radiation, such as in power stations or power line or telephone line workers, they have a higher rate of developing cancers such as leukemia, brain tumors, and breast cancer. And those serving in the military, it was stated, the Navy, the Air Force, are also at higher risk rates of cancer due to the radiation exposure from the electronics and the microwave-emitting equipment. And this was in the National Cancer Institute. It stated this. This was an Epidemiology Journal, 2000, Volume 11. It said, employees of a large manufacturer of wireless communication products are not more likely to die from brain tumors or cancers of the they are more likely to die of brain cancers and tumors of the lymphatic system and then the general population. So that was in the journal, and we should take note of that. Also, the World Health Organization asked the working group to review a mountain of evidence on static and low-frequency electromagnetic fields for the potential of cancer risk. And what they reported was that it is, quote, possibly carcinogenic to humans. Wow. So what about the children, though? We have a lot of kids. Are, you know, they more susceptible to this stuff? Well, we know that the very young are more susceptible to toxic chemicals and fumes. So, you know, should radiation be any different? Well, it isn't. The Journal of Microscopy and Ultrastructure did a report on, quote, the title of the report was Why Children Absorb More Microwave Radiation Than Adults and the Consequences. And it stated that children do absorb more microwave radiation than adults do. And the consequences from the study revealed that because their bodies are smaller, their skulls are thinner, and their brain tissue more absorbent, they are at a greater risk than adults for developing cancers. Now, fetuses are more vulnerable than children, and that pregnant women should avoid radiation as much as possible. And studies are recommending that adolescent girls, maybe you know some of these girls, they put their cell phones in their bra or maybe in their headscarf. They say, don't do that. Don't do that. And there is plenty of data warning that overexposure to microwave radiation produces serious health risks. So experts state that the exposure limits are unacceptable and need to be revised. Now, Mark Gibbs, he was asked the question, and he did a report in Network World magazine, I guess, or journal. He said, Wi-Fi is killing us slowly, he says. He mentioned the Huntersville, North Carolina Wi-Fi incident. He says it was installed in the schools, and several female students developed a rare form of eye cancer called ocular melanoma. So health authorities state they don't know what is causing it. They don't know what's causing this cancer, and it usually only occurs in patients over the age of 50. So the community requested an environmental occupation study and called in specialist Dr. Samuel Milham. He's an epidemiologist from California. And this is what he stated. He said, exposure to dirty electricity and electromagnetic signals meets the criteria. So there's this solid blanket of signals we're under. They call them runaway currents or rogue electricity in our modern society, where they have constant streams colliding, reflecting, escaping, and magnifying our exposure to dirty electricity. So for everyone, and especially children, there's a risk of a cumulative effect. And Dr. Milham says this, it creates a steady bombardment of electromagnetic signals, and we develop health problems. We are swimming in an electrical chemical soup, he says, end of quote. And Dr. Milham has seen the rate of various forms of cancer in school children explode due to the high electrical impulses in classrooms. He reports that he's really not the most popular person with the school boards or the city council members. He says some people can tolerate the dirty electricity better than others, but over time, the body's worn down and develops cancer. And Stuart Simonson, he's a chemical and environmental engineer, he says that the Huntersville, North Carolina eye cancer case may be the result of dirty electricity from the Doppler radar station that's near Huntersville, and it's owned by the Federal Aviation Administration. Simonson feels that these radar stations turn humans into antennas, and he states that he has seen research that dirty electricity also gives animals and sea life disease. So we're at a point where we need to be proactive and protective like never before. So, you know, parents, you need to be more protective of your children than ever, and we need to be more sensitive to the devices that can create weaknesses in our body and invite disease. Now, a while back, I purchased a rad meter. A few years ago, I used this meter. Well, I still use it today occasionally. I measure the dirty electricity at my work and home to see, you know, what the limit of exposure I have. And I have been also fighting my electric company regarding a smart meter, and I still have my analog meter on there. I measured my neighbor's smart meter, and it pulses every 4 seconds. So if a smart meter is right outside your bedroom wall, it's time to move your bedroom. Also, I like herbs that can really draw out the radioactive particles from the body. So organ cleansing is really not an option anymore. It's a must for this day and age. So you want to call the folks at Apothecary Herbs to order your organ cleansing kit, and you'll reduce your risk of the dirty electricity. So you can call to order. The number is 866-229-3666. 3. It's organ cleansing. Just ask about that. The international number is 704-885-0277. Of course, you can go online and check it out under their organ cleansing tab at thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. And don't forget to check out the dandelion root tincture for the cancer risk. And money-saving coupons are also on their website, so don't forget to utilize those. You might as well. And if you want to just call toll-free at 866-229-3663. Get a free product catalog. That's 866-229-3663. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need apothecary herbs. Alrighty. If you're on the website, don't forget to sign up for the newsletters. They're free, too. You get those each and every week. American Survival goes out on Tuesday, and the Health Quest goes out on Friday. So if you want your Health Quest tomorrow, sign up tonight and get it added to the list. All right, we have a few minutes here, so we're going to talk about a little bit of incontinence. People call me all the time about incontinence, and they just know what to do. They've been to the doctor. Doctor can't help them there. They don't want to do the drugs anymore because nothing seems to be working. And not all of them are baby boomers. You'd be amazed who's calling me. So they also want to get rid of the incontinence and strengthen themselves, you know, cleanse. And you can do both at the same time. So about 13 million Americans have incontinence, and they don't want to be wearing adult diapers. I wouldn't want to either. So, and it's not normal as we age to have to do that. So pharmaceuticals, you know, are trying to, you know, push the incontinence drug onto their patients. 40% of women over the age of 60 seem to be suffering from incontinence. And more women do because, of, you know, they were the childbearing person. And there's a lot that goes on, you know, in the pelvic area. And they seem to have a little bit more trouble there. There's a couple of types of incontinence. There's the leakage type where, you know, if you cough or laugh or sneeze, you might have a little discharge. And then there's the strong, sudden, urgent need, followed by instant involuntary loss of urine. So those are the two things. Now if you're in Japan, they just love the adult diapers, even though they don't have incontinence. They just don't want to stop and waste time at the bathroom. So, but you want to restore normal function if you have an incontinence issue. Now, this is different than a UTI, which is a urinary tract infection. If you have a urinary tract infection, you usually have burning, this added discomfort. So when you urinate, you have this burning. Also, your urine may have a different odor to it. So you definitely want to have that checked. And your urine can be murky looking because if you get a lot of white blood cells from an infection, which is a urinary tract infection, then that's what's going to do. It's going to make the urine look murky. So there's herbs for that too, though. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a lot of drug-resistant pathogens for the UTI, and a lot of the antibiotics aren't working anymore anyway. So we want to get rid of this. We want to strengthen the bladder wall, strengthen the urethra. We want to calm down irritated bladder wall nerve endings. We want to get rid of the pathogen because we don't want it traveling up to the kidneys. We do not want a kidney infection. Oh, no, no, no. So we're going to snip this in the bud and take care of it. And it's easier than you think to do. In one or two days, it's gone. People are amazed. They're just like, wow, I feel so much better. And it was easy. Absolutely. God's herbs are good. I can't take all the credit. I see by the clock I'm going to have to take a little break, and when I come back, I'm going to tell you what I would do if I was you, if you have incontinence or urinary tract infection, because I do the same for both, actually. It's easy. It's not hard. It's empowering, and you'll have that power. When we come back, I'll show you. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Hey, we're back here on Herb Talk. Thanks, Frank. Well, right before the break, we're talking about this, you know, incontinence issue. And, you know, healthy people have healthy nervous systems. And you got to have a healthy nervous system in order to have a healthy bladder, because
you have this stretching sensation and you have nerve endings in the bladder wall, and it alerts you to the urge to urinate. So the average person can hold about 2 cups of urine. So the ability to store this urine really depends on the strength of your sphincter muscle in the bladder, the nerve endings in the bladder wall, whether you have the strength of the bladder wall to, it's called the distursor muscle, to contract, and also to help you force urine out when you're ready to use the bathroom. So what typically causes incontinence? Well, there's lots of things. Sometimes medications can cause it. Weight gain, urinary tract infections, prostate infection, bowel obstructions, and constipation can do that. Also, other diseases like multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's, and some other problems in the neurological area can also cause incontinence. So prescription drugs that tend to lead us down the road to incontinence have the side effect, like diuretics, tranquilizers, antidepressants. Some diabetic meds not controlling the diabetes correctly can cause this. And over-the-counter cough and cold medicines, antihistamines, allergy products, they can also produce an incontinence issue. And aside from these drugs, of course, the weight gain, infections, or constipation issues can also be layered in there with the central nervous not working well. So there's lots of things that can cause incontinence. But usually if you go to your doctor, your medical treatment for that is going to be corticosteroids, beta interferon, immunosuppressant therapies, and stuff like that. But it's not really going to get it why you have incontinence. So there are some healthier options out there you want to do to avoid constipation and getting infections and things like that. Healthy lifestyle, try to avoid a lot of sugary drinks. A lot of the sugar can encourage microbes to collect and build up in the urinary tract area and irritate the nerve endings of the bladder wall. Those microbes can give you a UTI in a skinny minute. So basically, I like to use a couple of herbs that help with the cleansing of the kidney bladder urinary tract area, and it's called our Kidney Bladder Cleanse Kit. And you'll find that at the powerherbs.com website. And it's a combo tea tincture. It's very good. It's a very comprehensive cleanse, and it's excellent for UTIs and incontinence. So strengthening and cleansing, that's what you do. You strengthen. You don't weaken the body, but you cleanse and strengthen, and the body can heal itself. So you can check it out at powerherbs.com. A kit is about enough for a two-week kind of cleanse, very gentle and effective. You do not have to stay near a bathroom. You can still carry out your normal activities, and it's about $68. So for less than the cost to an office visit and a copay, you can get your, you can fix it. Let's put it that way. All right. I know right at the break, my engineer is saying, I thought you were going to talk about fatigue. And I am. According to the CDC, we have like 500,000 to 1 million Americans that, you know, report they have a fatigue issue to the level of chronic fatigue. So the condition is kind of prevalent, and medicine likes to label it different ways. They'll call it chronic fatigue syndrome or myalgic encephalitis, systematic exertion intolerance disease, and on and on and on. But it all comes down to I'm tired and I don't get anything done. It seems more women than men suffer from fatigue issues, according to the experts. And, of course, if the men have it, it's underreported because guys don't like to complain or report these things. And it's not usually just an age-related thing, but typically you see it more with people between 40 to 59, okay? So the disease is really in a classification of doctors really don't know what's causing it per se, but they just treat symptoms of the fatigue, and that's it. So let's look at some of the triggers that can cause the fatigue to rear its ugly head. A lot of times you can feel pretty well, but then you have muscle pain and memory problems and headaches and joint pain. You can't sleep well. You may have a sore throat and tender glands. This is all the chronic fatigue syndrome that people report on. Research says that, you know, it's usually comes about after a bout with the flu. And so they think it may be viral related. But they really don't have a clue what causes chronic fatigue. If you ask your medical physician what causes it, they'll admit they just don't know. So if your doctor really doesn't have a clue what's causing it, how do you suppose he's going to go about fixing it or curing it? He's not. He's just going to approach it by lessening your symptoms as much as possible so you're more comfortable living with your disease. But that's not how I roll. I don't like that. I don't like symptom management, disease management. I like the cure, the C-U-R-E. It's a four-letter word to the folks out there in medicine, but hey, that's what I shoot for. So your doctor is not going to lose any sleep that you're not feeling well, because the average costs of these treatments for chronic fatigue are going to do him pretty well. Office visits range between $50 to $200, depending on your insurance. Then you're transferred to a series of specialists to, you know, find out what's wrong with you. And those treatments can increase in course. You can get physical therapy. That could be $50 to $350 per visit. You can have cognitive behavioral therapy, $125 to $250 per session. You can have drug therapy and antidepressants, $8 to $90 per prescription. And according to the University of Maryland Medical Center, the cognitive therapy, behavioral therapy, will entail a minimum of 6 to 20 hours of treatment, costing you anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000. So any person with cognitive chronic fatigue who seeks help from modern medicine is going to receive drugs for pain, drugs for sleep, drugs for depression. They're going to be referred to therapy clinics and massage and physical therapy experts, and medicine says there's no cure. So you're going to be on this treatment train for life, and who can afford that? Nobody. Also, if you get chronic fatigue, sometimes other conditions kind of hitchhike along. A lot of people say they get irritable bowel syndrome, they get vertigo, they get heightened allergies, they get cold sweats and chills, their vision's affected. In other words, their eyes are really sensitive to light. They get anxiety and panic attacks. So there's a lot of things that come along with this. And also people complain about a range of motion with their skills. It diminishes. They have pain in their joints. Their cognitive abilities are lessened. They have trouble learning new things. And some doctors look at it as, you know, early dementia, but that's not what it is. It's not. Medical research also says that patients with chronic fatigue also develop what is a condition called fibromyalgia within a year or two of being diagnosed with the chronic fatigue. Well, understand that chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia are sister conditions. They do kind of accompany one another, but you can get rid of both of them, and you can get rid of them the same way. You treat one, you get rid of the other, kind of thing. All right, so a lot of doctors say, well, this thing is complicated. Modern medicine says chronic fatigue is complex. I want to tell you it is not. Researchers at DePaul University of Chicago with the Healthcare for Women International Group, they did a study on chronic fatigue and the mortality rate of chronic fatigue. A lot of people haven't heard about this. The patient study said that 166 deceased chronic fatigue patients showed more women than men were affected by the disease. We already knew that. They also found that patients with chronic fatigue more likely to die of heart failure, cancer, and suicide by the age of 59.6. So they're not even reaching 60. Well, I mean, if you're in pain, chronic pain, for years, let's say, you know, you get it at 40 or you get it at 50, I mean, you know, how much pain can anybody endure? They also found that the average age for chronic fatigue patients who died of cancer or suicide much younger than the general population that's healthy. So between the ages of 39.3 and 47.8, that's when they were checking out. So the medical literature does notes that chronic fatigue offers high risk of mortality, yet there have been no extensive investigations into it. So because medicine concludes that long-term chronic fatigue is possibly a psychiatric condition, you know, because, you know, they can't fix it physically, so that's what it is. Health professionals are often split on the issue that chronic fatigue is really a problem with your mind. It's not really a physical condition. And that secondary condition can also cause death. You know, chronic fatigue or feeling tired all the time, according to Dr. Sarah Myhill, she's a physician in the UK, she says it's evidence of a powerhouse of your cells that are not being supplied with enough energy. The problem is not in your head, she says. She thinks it's in your thyroid. Well, if you feel fatigue, it's not a good idea to ignore it. You may have a thyroid issue. You may have a heart problem. You may have, you know, anemia. There's a lot of things that can cause the fatigue. But the real chronic fatigue that we're talking about, it's not caused by those things. I'm talking about the classic chronic fatigue that typically people get after being stressed out or having the flu or, you know, an illness. We're going to get to what it is. Of course, you know, changing the lifestyle is going to be helpful if you have chronic fatigue. Now, preventing chronic fatigue is really going to be your best investment, because you don't ever want to get chronic fatigue. It's very disabling unless you know how to you know, restore yourself. Most people think that if they eat healthy, they have an inventory of the classic foods, they're going to be fine. But a lot of the foods they have, they don't realize there's secret assassins in their foods that are undermining their healthy eating plan. So you really have to be discerning. There could be some hidden poisons in your foods, especially if you're getting a lot of processed or handy quick fix meal kind of stuff. You really have to read your ingredient list. There's a huge difference, for instance, between grass-fed and grain-fed beef, right? So the enzymes and the nutrition is very different. So you're not going to have the amino acids to feed the mitochondria, which are your energy packs of your cells. And the reason is when you have chronic fatigue, when that's happening, your digestion isn't working. Okay, so in order for your cells to have energy, it has to have amino acids. In order for you to have amino acids, your digestion has to extract that from protein foods. So here's a universal nutrient. We have a lot of cells in the body. Energy fuels the cells. And here's the universal nutrient. You want to think of the universal nutrient as something that is a biochemical operator. It helps your heart to beat. It supports your immune system, hormonal system. So you want to make sure that if you don't have the universal nutrients going into the body, then you're going to have health problems, including chronic fatigue. So you want to swap out your diet. So get to the healthy diet. Now, people with chronic fatigue, wow, it's basically your digestion's not extracting the protein out of your foods. And a lot of times it's because they have the gut floras that are out of whack. You have 400 of them. And if you get an overgrowth of the yeast, then you can't extract the protein from your food. And a lot of times people get an overgrowth of yeast in the digestive system after they've been on a prescription of, let's say, antibiotics, okay? Because antibiotics will kill all the floras except the yeast. And you want to be real careful using colloidal silver internally as well, because that's so powerful, it kills all the floras, including the yeast. And you have to get those floras back, okay? Or you can't digest anything. So what you want to do, because if you have the yeast overgrowth going on, it likes an alkaline environment. That's what yeast will thrive on. It thrives on dairy products. It thrives on sugar. It thrives on carbohydrates. So it's anything that converts to sugar, so your alcohol, it thrives on that. So you need to balance those gut floras. And the way to do that is you want to put more fermented foods into the digestive tract, so pickled beets, kimchi, sauerkraut, that kind of stuff. And also you want to eat raw vegetables or slightly stir-fried. And if you're And you want to stay away from carbohydrates. So if you're going to have rice, have brown rice. It's a complex carb, and it doesn't convert to sugar as readily as, let's say, white rice. So you want to stay on this very basic diet until your energy comes back. And how long will it take? People ask me that. Well, sometimes, you know, it takes a week or a couple of weeks, sometimes a couple of months, just depending on how long you've had chronic fatigue. So you want to stay on that, and you want to avoid those sugars. Remember the sugars and the carbs. You want to avoid those. And no dairy, because it's too mucousy and it coats the system and it makes it hard. So you just stay on that until your energy comes back. When your energy starts to come back, don't go crazy with the carbs and the sugar. You go to the Mediterranean diet. You have more omega-3 fatty acids. And you're going to have less risk of being overweight, having diabetes, heart disease, or cancer. So that's how you get rid of chronic fatigue syndrome. It's diet-driven. And a lot of people get on, let's say, a long-term course of antibiotics, let's say for a sinus infection. This is typically what I hear. And then they get the chronic fatigue. And unfortunately, I used to work for a neurology center that had a lot of chronic fatigue patients. And these people would be very faithful. They'd line up for their pain injection because the pain was so bad in their joints, because they were basically starving because they couldn't digest anything. So you have to get that pH balanced. You have to get the alkalinity out of there, and you have to put more acidic foods in. Okay. And you can get that balance back, and you can get rid of the fibromyalgia and the chronic fatigue. They go together. And one product that I can recommend is called All-in-One. It's organic apple cider vinegar with herbs that are aged in it that will boost immune system function, and people on chronic fatigue need that. So you can check that out. It's at the powerherbs.com website. And once your energy come back, it's a good idea to do your bowel cleanse. To remove the pharmaceutical residues from the antibiotics you probably were taking and all the other drugs for chronic fatigue. So check it out at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663, and give a call and get a catalog. And, you know, take the power back, you know. You want a cure. You don't want a crutch. You want to have your life back. You don't want to live more comfortably with a disease. Who wants to do that? That's crazy. All right, we've got a few minutes. I thought we'd talk about some herbs here. What were we going to talk about? Lavender? Ooh, I love lavender. It's very pretty. I love to put it in infusers and smell lavender throughout the house. And you have to ask yourself, you know, our creator God, you know, made lots of these great herbs, and lots of these foods and herbs are packed full of lots of nutritional benefits and aromas. You know, our herbs are foods, and they're perfect. They're perfectly balanced in a chemistry way. So everyone is acquainted with this enchanting fragrance that lavender gives us. A lot of people like to put them in scented pillows, and they say it helps them sleep better, and this is true. They add them to soaps and deodorants and detergents. Sachets, put it in your, you know, sock drawer. And lavender really is just more than a pretty smelling flowering plant. It has healing power. That's right. It has that aromatic evergreen feel for it. It's half shrub and half plant. It's part of the mint family, and it has these blossoms that come out white and then turn blue and purple. And the flowers are often used to make lavender oil. And lavender is indigenous to the Mediterranean, but now it's cultivated everywhere. And a lot of people look at it as an ornamental plant, and they plant it in their flower bed. So there are 39 species of lavender, and used all over Europe, Africa, Asia, Mediterranean. And they even use it as a culinary ingredient. I don't know if you've caught some of those cooking shows where they'll just kind of pinch off a little fresh lavender from the flower garden and throw it in and give their creation some sort of special fragrance and taste. which is cool. But down through the ages, lavender has been one of the most popular in herb gardens, and because of its medicinal properties. The word lavender is English. It's taken from the old French lavandre, which is from the Latin word lavere, which means to wash. So our ancient ancestors would use lavender tea to cleanse with. And lavender also has been referred to as a lavandula, which is thought to be derived from the Latin word livrae, which means blush or bluish. And most popular species of lavender is the English lavender and French lavender or the Spanish lavender. So what are the health benefits? Well, a lot of people use lavender oil. If you get some commercially, a lot of the lavender oil is grown and used in production. Sometimes it's imported, but lavender doesn't have to be in an oil to have medicinal benefits. For instance, this fragrant plant offers antiseptic and anti-inflammatory properties. And this is why you see it added to skincare products and cosmetics. And science has declared that Dutch lavender, which is called lavandin, it's a variety of lavender, it has higher tannin content and more potent fragrance to it. Now, this variety is also known for its larger flower, and it's easier to grow compared to English lavender. And therefore, a lot of people prefer it as a mass production lavender to make oil from. So if you're using lavender oil, it'll be from the Dutch lavender. So, however, the lavandin lavender, although it brings more potent fragrance, it tends not to be as sweet as the other varieties. But in 1995, the Lancet Journal said that the lavender has effectiveness against insomnia better than the medications for insomnia. Check that out. So people who used lavender slept longer and got to sleep faster and were less restless while they were sleeping than those using sleeping medications. So most people use lavender as an aromatherapy or to soothe away a headache or to relax the mind and sleep better. But it's also good to use to soothe insect bites and stings and burns. Now, during the World War II, hospitals would use lavender oil with the essential oils to purify and diminish surfaces from germs. They would use it in vapors also as an antibacterial property to cleanse the air and to treat flu, urinary tract infections, whooping cough. And in 2010, Journal of the Internal Clinical Pharmacology said that lavender soothes away anxiety. And they're really not sure how it does that. Double-blind study said that it has an activating anti-anxiety sleep aid in it, and it just works great. Neurological studies say the same thing. So you can check that out, and lavender is cool. We've added it to the skin poultice. That's a skin poultice product that the powerherbs.com has for skin bites, bee stings, scrapes, venomous bites, poison ivy, oak, sumac. So it's in there, and it makes this product smell just delicious. It's just great. So lavender, who knew? It's more than just a pretty-smelling plant, right? I can see I am out of time. But I will be back next week. If you have any questions, call me at thepowerherbs.com at 866-229-3663. We'll chat it up. I'll hopefully answer your questions. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. And seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.